Okay, let's take some of the questions now, and then we go into prayers, for which reason we are here tonight. Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. I have three questions that are seriously bothering me. The first question is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 8 and 9. It says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Verse 9, for we all know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is imperfect shall be done away. The first question is, sir, the Bible says here that whether there be prophecy, that they will cease and all that. So I want to understand that word cease. Does it mean that time has come, that there will not be any prophecy? Time has come, there will not be any miracle and all that. I want to truly understand what that place is saying.
Do you know the meaning of charity? What's the meaning of charity?
Love.
And what does the Bible say? Who is God? God is
love.
Love. And love is the only thing that has no end. And that's why it is identified with God. Now, prophecy has its part to play in the life of a believer. But the time is going to come when we shall not need prophecy again. A time is going to come where we shall not need any of the gifts again. By the time that we are soaked in love, by the time we go in the rapture, we will not need prophecy. We will only dwell and swim in love. So love, and not just ordinary love, but God's kind of love, not contractual love. When we get to that stage, you will not need any of this. So, why don't we begin to lean towards love, practice love, which is what will endure more than any other thing. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. Your next question.
Thank you, sir. The next question is taken from the book of Malachi chapter 3, where the Bible talks about tithe. I want to know, I believe we are Christians, and that prophecy that was given by Prophet Malachi, was it for we, the Christians? I don't know who is that command given to, and who is to obey that Malachi chapter 3. Are we to obey that Malachi chapter 3 or not?
Why do you ask that question?
Thank you, sir. Why I ask that question is because my former place of work, my colleague invited me to his church, called the Church of Christ. So when I got there, you know, there's a message they tithe to. Should Christians pay tithe in this age? So that is why since I listened to that message, I have the CD at home. I was somehow confused. I want to be clear.
What did you learn from the CD you listened to concerning tithe?
What I learned from the CD, although I'm still trying to get more things from there. One thing I learned from there.
I will advise you to finish listening to it, then you can come and ask the question. You haven't finished listening to it now, because your question is derived from listening to it. And you have not finished listening to it. And you are coming to ask questions from what you have not finished listening to. So maybe by the time you finish listening to it, you will not have any need for questions. But do you pay tithe?
Yes, I do.
Why do you pay tithe?
I pay tithe because I was commanded to do so.
Who commanded you to do so?
God commanded it through Prophet Malachi.
Then why are you asking me a question again?
I want to be more clarified. If truly we Christians are to pay tithe or not.
You want to know whether you should pay tithe or not. You who have been paying, whether you should stop or you should continue. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, when Abraham paid tithe, correct?
Yes, sir.
Who commanded him to pay tithe?
Nobody.
Was Abraham under law or grace?
He was under law.
Eh? Which law? When did the law start?
It started with Moses.
Moses and Abraham, who was before the other?
Abraham. Abraham was...
It's like you don't know your Bible. You said the law started with Moses.
Yes,
and
sir.
You are saying Abraham paid tithe under the law. So you are confused. So Abraham paid tithe. Listen, Abraham paid tithe under grace. Abraham was serving idol with his people, and God brought him out. He was not seeking for God. It was God that brought him and began to make a covenant with him. His grace. Okay? And under that grace, without anybody commanding him, he met with God. Melchizedek was God in human form. Am I correct? Are you a member of this church?
Yes, sir.
And he paid him tithe. Who commanded him to pay tithe? Listen, can somebody... Okay. Now, we see there was a law. Listen, later on it became law. Correct? Answer me.
Yes, sir.
God commanded the Israelites to pay tithe. That became law.
Yes, sir.
But when Abraham paid it, it was not law.
Yes.
Okay. Now, in the old, the two, Cain and Abel, offered sacrifice before God. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Who commanded them to offer sacrifice? To kill an animal? Who commanded Abel to kill an animal for sacrifice?
They were not commanded.
Eh? They were not commanded.
Commanded.
Okay. But it became law later on. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, we get a key from Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4. Can we open it? Hebrew chapter 11 verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith. In short, listen. If you read on, the Bible says, by faith, it said the elders obtained good report. By faith. By faith. Faith here is revelation. By revelation. Amen. Abel knew that for the atonement of their sin, blood must be shed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Who told him? By revelation. And the just shall live by faith. By revelation, we know that Christians should pay tithe. Which revelation? The same revelation Abraham got. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The last question, okay.
Okay, sir. The last question I want to ask is taken from the book of Psalm 150, where the Bible talks about where David was expressing himself in use of instrument in praising God and all that. So I want to still ask, sir, should we Christians use this musical instrument to praise God? Praise I want to be more clarified.
What? Sorry. You know why I ask you like that? Because people are watching us from everywhere now. And so many people are here now. I want to ask you, do you yourself, it means there's something you see wrong with using musical instruments. So, you know, in Africa, we they use question, answer question. So, why, what is bad in using instruments? Let me hear you first.
Sir, like what I said before I started, I've never seen anything bad. Why I'm here is because I want to be clarified. So that when I go out there, when somebody asks me such question, I will have more information to give him.
No, that is where you have problem. You don't learn so that you will go and argue anywhere. You learn so that you will know how to worship your God. That's why we study. Do you understand? We study so that we will know we will worship God acceptably. The Bible is against us going to argue the word of God. So, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not for debate. Anybody that call me for debate, I will not go. Except he call me to teach him. I will teach you, not to debate. You win, you lose. Abby? And then what happens? So, but for the purpose of this, because you know why I will answer you is because there are churches that don't believe in using some musical instruments. Deeper Life is among them. Choosing is among them. But the problem with them is that they choose some and they drop some. Even the microphone they are using. Then they use microphone for nightclub. The violin, where Deeper Life then they use. They use them for nightclub. Waiting again. The keyboard, where then they use? They use them in nightclub. Which one again? All of them, we don't go to nightclub before. Tell me now. Waiting again. So you see that, you know, listen very well. There are many of us that are preachers. And we use things that we personally we don't like. And then we spiritualize it and make it to be something about righteousness. Do you understand? Because you don't like all this noise. Therefore, it will spoil my sanctification. But they make noise. Now David the enter spirit. Amen. Now listen. Music is a creation of God. Listen very well. Music is a talent. It's a gift from God. It's not a gift from devil. It's a gift from God. When he created angels, he created angels for the sole purpose of worshiping him. And so he created Lucifer, and a description of Lucifer is that he was that cherub closest to God, that his creation, he said, pipes were in him. You know what is a pipe? Musical instruments. He was built with musical instruments in him. So he was a musician. Created for the purpose of using it to worship God. That a talent given by God and you use it wrongly does not now make it the ownership given to devil. The truth about it is, we Christians, we should be the ones to be angry with them for taking these instruments and going to play them in the wrong place. Nightclub, shrines, and all these places. They are meant for the worship of the true God. In the church, wherever Christians are gathered. So we should say, it is wrong for you people to go and use this talent in nightclub and all these funny places. Not to make it the reverse, the case. No. They are talents from God and they must be used. Anything you can use to make music, use it. Anything at all. Anything. 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 Anything at all. Use it and worship God. God bless you. Next person, please.
Yes, I'm on.
Praise the Lord.
I'm on.
I think there's a call coming in.
Yes. Hello, sir. Yes, my question, I want to ask you something. Does something happen? Yeah, hello. Hey, does something happen after? Yes, does something happen after Holy Ghost baptism? Since that day, I got a revelation and I begin to preach. And since I want to ask, is that right? A man that not educated to be king. I've told people who are four pastors have believed me and go and baptize their member in the name of Jesus. Sir, I'm also one of the bride assembly. I was here 2 weeks ago, but I will not be able to ask this question, sir. Please, sir, my question is that, sir, but they are telling me that I do not have right to preach. Yet I did not attend or attend any other school. And the way I'm going to be, since I left Holy Ghost baptism, the bad assembly, something happened here. People are converting. Some ladies are dropping their trousers. But I don't know, and I'm not educated. I'm not educated. So I don't know what to do.
Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you, my brother from Ondo. I think I got your question. What you are saying is, you came here after the Holy Ghost program, you received the Holy Ghost, and things began to happen, and you'll be going about preaching in Ondo, and they are challenging you that you have no right to preach, because which Bible school you go, who ordained you? And then you don't even go to school. So you are asking, is it right for you to go preach? And you believe you are not doing anything wrong because people are getting converted. You are baptizing people and people are believing you. Don't mind these denominational people. Who is it that ordains? Our ordination is from God. When we lay hand on you, say we are ordaining you, we are only confirming the grace of God upon your life. Amen. It is God that calls. It's not a man that calls you. And he's the one that ordains you. Tell them that Pastor Moses Alu, no man ordained me. No man, big man, somewhere laid hand on me and then ordained me. That's why I don't have ordination certificate. That's why I don't have my father in the Lord. God called me in the same order that he called Apostle Paul. He met with me and saved me and commissioned me to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, I am not against ordination because I have ordained so many people. But don't say because you are not ordained, therefore you will not preach. It's a denominational, it's a denominational spirit. Go ahead, fire on. Preach the gospel. In season, out of season. Preach it, say it. Don't listen to them. Listen to him who called you first. Clap your hands for Jesus. Yes, sister.
Sir, my question is from the book of Revelation 3, verse 5.
He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
So this very place, I think our Lord Jesus Christ is not trying to pull our legs. He's talking to the elect. Like some believers that will say, I am saved, I'm saved. And they keep on living in sin. Anyhow, because they say the wages of sin is death. And for Jesus to say this, because he's not talking to somebody that doesn't know this very end time message. He's talking to the elect that he will blot out. So my question is, because I'm trying to see that someone's name can be blot out if you don't
From what? Blot out from what?
Huh?
Your name will be blotted out from what?
He did not say books. Is that the book? He said book. Book of life.
Yes.
So, if someone keep on living in the sin, maybe you say, I'm saved. Then, that is what I'm understanding here, that Jesus Christ...
What you are now saying is, the teaching we teach, that once you are saved, forever you are saved, is wrong. In the light of your understanding of this verse.
What I'm saying, like somebody will take that privilege.
Forget about somebody. You now, your understanding of it.
No, my understanding, because if you are saved and have Holy Ghost, you will abstain. The Holy Ghost will give you...
So what is that scripture talking about?
The scripture is talking, it said the book, your name, if you overcome. That your name, if you did not overcome, your name...
Okay, because of time, Sister Immaculate, listen. Apostle Paul, our popular scripture in this church, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed. My emphasis is rightly dividing the word of truth. Because scripture cannot contradict scripture. So you must read the scriptures in that understanding. If the Bible tells us that we are predestinated, your destiny has been determined before you began. And that we have been called from the foundation of the world. He said, elect of God according to his foreknowledge. Does God make a mistake?
No, God can never make a
mistake. Will God save you today? And then tomorrow regret start calling you. Then you will backslid again. He didn't know you will backslid.
Now
I'm coming. So I'm trying to explain. Now, so if we look about rightly dividing the word of truth, take note that the Bible also says, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. He said the reason is because his seed remained in him. Which seed? The seed that gave birth to us according to Peter, he said, we are born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. That word, if you got born again by receiving the word of God, that word of God abides in you.
Yes,
thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You have the word of God. That is what got you born again. You cannot enjoy sin. You cannot live in sin. It will stop you. Okay? It's not that you make a claim, I am elect, I am elect. No. Now, so, what is Christ talking about to the Laodicean church age? Is it Laodicean church age? Revelation chapter 3.
Now, yes, it's
Laodicean church age.
Yes.
In Revelation chapter 3. What he's saying there is talking about the book of remembrance, because he's talking about overcomers. It is talking about your reward. You will lose your reward. For Apostle Paul, let us know we are running a race. And we are supposed to run this race by the rule. And that we run to obtain. Apostle Paul made it clear like that. So it is your reward. You will remove your name from those to be rewarded. You will remove your name. But once you are saved, forever you are saved. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is eternal life. Eternal life is a life without end. So nothing can end it when you receive eternal life. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Sir, I have a question. From the book of Exodus, chapter 3.
Okay, let's go to the screen first. Shalom, Pastor, from Cameroon. Sister Glory, rejoice. I listened to your message titled, Why We Must Forgive. You said even though Jesus prayed for them, that Father forgive them for they know not what they do, but God did not forgive them. We can see that from what happened to the Jews in 1870. My question is, since it was God's will for Jesus to die, then why did he not forgive those who killed him? Praise God. Knowing God, listen. Amen. He did not forgive them in the sense that they paid for it. But they remain his elect. The Bible says, whom he loves, he chastises. You will take note that all the nations that dealt with Israel, all the nations, in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, he called them my armies. Those armies are the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Grecians, and the Romans. Those he was using each time Israel committed something, he will let these people come and take them to captivity and deal with them. Take note that after some time, he will bring them out again to himself. But those nations that dealt with him, you will not hear about them again. They are gone and gone forever. Those nations are gone and gone forever. So, yes, he dealt with them. He punished them. And remember that they brought the curse upon themselves. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. So he came upon them in AD 70 and upon their children through Hitler in 1946-47. Praise the Lord. Okay. So when you are a child of God, be careful. Even as you cry, he will say, he will still deal with you. When you cry, so that next time, you won't try that again. And remember, he said, offense will surely come. But woe to whom, through which, the offense may come. He said it. The woe is woe. Now when he said forgive, God said forgive. Why he said forgive is because he wants to be the one to take vengeance. Thank you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So if you decide to do it yourself, then he will step aside and look at you and you will achieve anything. So he doesn't want you to spoil his plan so that when he will do it, when he will do it. So that's why he said, you should forgive, leave the person. And one of the reasons why he said, you should forgive is because sometimes it is the devil that is pushing that person. God is looking beyond that person and seeing the spirit that is pushing the person to do it. So that you be careful, so that brotherhood is not broken because somebody has offended you. God bless you. Next person.
Praise the Lord. I have a question from Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, this shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Praise the Lord. Sir, why I'm asking this question, God said unto Moses, this is what I will be remembered, and this is what I will be called from generation to generation. But I found out now in our generation, we are calling God another thing. And the one that is giving me more concern is one that we are calling Jehovah. I want to know where that Jehovah is from and if it's really the name of God. Praise the Lord.
I come again, the same thing, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the meaning of name? Answer.
Name. The meaning of name is names, the bearer of someone. What you identified with.
Your identification. Correct? Your identification. So, this God that we serve, praise the Lord, can you identify him? What do you use to identify him?
There's something that he told Moses, that that is what he will be remembered from generation to generation.
Okay. Do you know the father of Jesus?
His earthly father or?
His heavenly father.
God.
God. Does he have a name?
He said, I am, from where I read.
Okay. Do you know the name of your father?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
You know the name of your father?
Yes, sir.
Does Jesus know the name of his father?
He knows.
Okay. You have your Bible. Can you open John chapter 20? Verse 43. Am I correct? Sorry, chapter 5, verse 43. John chapter 5, verse 43.
5:43.
Yes?
I am come in my
Who is the person speaking?
Jesus Christ.
What did he say?
I am come in my Father's name.
Uh-huh.
And you receive me not.
Which name was he referring to?
Jesus.
What is the name of his father?
Jesus.
And who is Jesus?
Jesus is God.
And Jesus is, and God is his. He didn't say I am. He said Jesus. So he told Moses his name is I am.
Yes, sir.
Again, in the same place you read, because he said I am sent you. When Moses asked him, who will I say sent me?
Yes.
What was his answer?
I am.
I am.
Yes.
Then he went further again. He said, I am the God of Abraham,
yes,
and of Isaac,
yes,
and of Jacob, and that is my name forever.
Ever.
Now, let me not go too far. Hear Jesus again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Son is Jesus. And the Son is telling us his Father. His name is Jesus. Because he came in his Father's name. Therefore, let's divide the word now. God is always known by whatever he's doing at any given time. His name, Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh. Amen. And many others. There are so many other names. Now, what did he mean by saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? That is my name forever. Listen, he made a covenant with Abraham. He repeated the same covenant with Isaac. And repeated the same covenant with Israel. And he's still on that covenant till now. What he's saying is, I am a covenant keeping God. That is the meaning of that. And God keeps his covenant forever. He doesn't break it. That is the meaning of that statement. God bless you.